I believe it is true that if you were the only one that needed to be redeemed, Jesus would have done it all for you. I'm going to skip the message I was going to preach tonight because of the sake of time. I think we've already heard some great messages from these young people. So I want to admonish you in rather an impromptu fashion. Take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes 4 in just a few minutes. Please, those of you that are in the young professionals class and the college class, remember that afterwards, after we have fellowship with folks, then we'll change and meet out by the volleyball court. We're going to have some volleyball, and there'll be some other things to do out there for a little while, and then we'll head over to McDonald's for some fellowship. So I trust that you will stay, play, and fellowship with us. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look beginning in verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Just some devotional thoughts tonight from this passage of Scripture. First of all, two are better than one. We have heard these young people make choices. You heard Karis give a testimony that her counselor encouraged her to write down those commitments. One of the wonderful things at the Wilds, and I've had the opportunity of being a counselor for a couple of summers. I've worked some other Christian camps. Matter of fact, my wife and I met at the Wilds of the Rockies. I had the privilege for 17 summers to preach in Christian camps all across our country. And one of the wonderful things is the personal attention that is given in that constant daily connection. So let me admonish you, moms and dads, not for all of you who've had boys and girls and teenagers that have gone to camp, to really ask them, dig into their lives, ask them about those commitments, and then don't hang that over their heads like a club to beat them with, but lovingly remind them. One of the principles that they will teach you at a camp like the Wilds is this: a question stirs the conscience, but an accusation hardens the will. And so let me just, by a practical way of admonition, encourage you moms and dads to ask your children for those commitments. Sit down and truly listen. Sometimes Ivy and I, we've got our favorite spot. I'm not going to tell you where it is. You can ask Ivy if you want to, but she and I have our favorite spot where we will go and we will get a treat and we will sit down and we will talk. And I'll find out what's going on in her life and ask her questions about how things are going. When Cameron's home, we like to do something like that together as well and just connect. And so ask those questions, and specifically keep in mind those things that your children have shared with you, and pray for those things and encourage them. Come alongside them when they fall. Ask them those loving but gracious, convicting questions and help them and lift them up and encourage them. And listen, many of you, your kids are grown and out of the house, but God has given you wisdom in the Word and experience. Invest that in these young people. They may not be blood relation, but they are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And in Titus chapter 2, the Bible says that the elder men are to exhort the young men, the elder women are to exhort the younger women. And that's not talking about chronological age, it's talking about spiritual maturity. And if you've walked with the Lord and God's developed things in your life, some of these things you've heard tonight have resonated in your own heart. And so let me encourage you to encourage them. Young people, let me also challenge you to find an accountability partner within your youth group. Guys with guys, girls with girls usually works best. Get a youth sponsor as well in on it and have some personal accountability. This is just a general admonition for everybody. If you don't have an accountability partner, get one. You are missing out. I don't know if you guys remember Mike Smith, but Mike and Stephanie are dear friends of ours. They were up at the Wilds. He's in a ministry of building. They're actually with Biblical Ministries Worldwide. And he's a ministry of helps. And he was up there building some of the JBC dorms and decks and things like that. And when I was youth pastor at Faith Baptist in Longmont, Colorado, Mike and I would get together every other Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock at Village Inn, and we would have breakfast. And I had a list of questions that I would ask him that he had written. And then I had a list of questions from him that I would ask him. And they were specific questions with no wiggle room. And our very last question we would always ask each other, and it almost became kind of a joke, but it really wasn't, was, is there anything that we've talked about today and you weren't completely honest with me about? Is there anything I need to know you haven't revealed? And you know, there were times when we would lovingly give each other a swift kick, and there were also times when we would rejoice and celebrate in the victories. And we knew that we were praying for each other, we were for each other, we knew we were going to have those meetings, and it was a great way of fleshing out the fact that someday, Romans 14:12, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So young people, get an accountability partner. Adults, make sure you have an accountability partner. If you're married, your marriage partner is a great accountability partner. But let me encourage you also, in addition to that, men with men, ladies with ladies, get an accountability partner. Just start off with two or three questions. Hey, listen, let me ask you this. What Karis was saying is a great idea. When's the last time you wrote down any spiritual goals? Specific spiritual goals. And the Spirit of God has moved in your heart. When you're taking notes in the messages or in your devotions, do you write down, hey, this is something that I need as a goal in my life right now? Write those down. Give those to somebody. Ask them to pray. Ask them to keep you accountable. Meet on a regular basis. I need to move for sake of time. I'm going to try to be done in about 4 minutes, and so we can be done about 6:30. So let's keep going. The Bible says in verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's why unity within the body of Christ is so important, because if Satan cannot crush a church from without, he wants to unravel it from within and spread disunity. As you know, band together, young people, to stand for Christ and to live for him. Not that you are not wanting to reach out to other teenagers that claim to be Christians but are not walking with Christ. You still lovingly reach out to them and you want to be their friend, but your close friends, the bonds of fellowship that are the strongest with you, need to be those who are also walking the same way. Solomon also wrote here in this book of Ecclesiastes, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And so you need to walk closely with those. The Bible says, Paul wrote to Corinthians, says, I wrote you not to keep company with fornicators, but not fornicators of this world, but those who are called brethren who are fornicators. And when he talks about keeping company, he doesn't mean that you avoid them and that you completely cast them aside. What he's talking about there is that they are not the ones that you spend the majority of your time with. They're not the ones that you're drawing close to. You still keep an open door. You still keep a gracious, loving spirit. You still reach out to them in kindness. But your closest friends, the ones you take counsel with, and the ones that you allow to influence your life, are the ones who are also walking with Christ, seeking to grow in godliness. And then, what a rebuke in verse 13. We've heard testimonies from some young people that are growing in the wisdom of the Word of God. But look with me at verse 13. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. I wonder if there are some of us who, though we would never outwardly say this, either don't feel we really need to be admonished or really wouldn't take it very well. You know, one of the most loving things a person can do is to confront you with your spiritual need. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. But we have heard the tender spirit, and are these young people perfect? No. Do they have growing to do? Absolutely. We all do. But we have heard some of these young people make some very wise choices tonight. Let's do all we can to encourage them. Let's not in any way discourage them. And let us set an example for them and walk in growth with them. Let's not be like the old and foolish king who will no longer be admonished. Let's keep tender hearts open to the convicting and teaching in the Spirit of God through the Word of God so that we can still continue to grow and to please him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. In a moment, we'll stand and be dismissed with a closing chorus. Father, thank you for the wonderful testimonies these young men and ladies have given tonight. It is all by your grace. Thank you for ministries like the Wilds. Thank you for Dr. Ken Hay, who is now rejoicing in your presence and fellowship with you, that you gave him that vision, that you brought together people and resources to be able to purchase that property in North Carolina, to be able to establish a Christian camp and conference center for the sake of reaching folks with the gospel of Jesus Christ and building disciples and strengthening local church ministries. Our church has greatly benefited from the ministry of the Wilds. And there are many camps, good, solid Christian, Bible preaching, disciple making camps going on right now this summer throughout our country. Lord, I pray for your provision and your blessing upon each of them, that you would give strength and endurance to the counselors, to the op staff, to the full-time staff, meet their needs. Many of these full-time staff members are living very limited budgets, but Lord, they are investing in your eternal kingdom, and the joy they have in seeing you work far outweighs the inconveniences or lack of things they have learned, as Paul did in Philippians 4, to be content, whatever state or circumstances you've put them. But Lord, I pray that you would prosper and bless them for their commitment to you and their service and their investment. Lord, I pray that we would not be like the old and foolish king who will no longer be admonished, but that we will have tender hearts to follow you all the days of our life. I pray for these young people, not just the ones who gave testimonies, though I pray for them, but for all of our boys and girls and all of our teenagers who chose to respond to the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the word of God through counselors and through preachers was ministered this week, that they would grow from this and help us to encourage them. Help us with joyful, willing hearts to desire to listen and to share and to invest, and that we would all be growing together. Lord, I pray that you would now, in a moment, dismiss us with your blessing, and may we be wonderfully refreshed by our fellowship together afterwards. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in the closing chorus.